AM 1220 KDOW presents Money 2.0.
Money 2.0.
Now, helping you excel in business and in life, here's business coach and Money 2.0 host, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome to Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. This show is brought to you by Business on the Edge, your small business problem solver, where we help you reach your small business dreams and career goals. You can connect with Business on the Edge through our social media channels at Twitter, Business on the ED, LinkedIn at Margaret Jackson, our Facebook page at Business on the Edge, and our Facebook group page at On the Edge Women in Business. You are welcome to post your product, service, events, motivational, inspirational, political views. It's a group for you to make your comments and connections known. If you want to connect with me directly, email me at ontheedge@businessontheedge.biz with questions or comments. Every week I like to thank our listeners for tuning in. We appreciate your listenership. We work hard to bring you a great show that inspires your professional development and small business growth. Rule number one, never lose money. Rule number two, never forget rule number one. That's Warren Buffett. Rule number one, never lose money. Rule number two, never forget rule number one. My On the Edge Power question tonight is it true that you do not have to be a genius to invest well? I don't know, but I do have a very special guest in the studio with me this evening to be able to tell us whether or not that's true. And one of the reasons I want to talk about investing tonight, I believe that small businesses have the ability to do things or think about the things that large corporations, large businesses think about with regards to investing, with regards to diversifying their companies to a place where they can make it a little bit stronger, steady, so they can grow in the way that they need to grow. And so you might say, well, a micro business doesn't have the capacity to invest in anything. It barely has the resources to invest in itself. But I think that there's other places that resources can be pulled from, maybe like some retirement instrument, maybe, I don't know, but a possibility, you know, sell something on eBay, you know, Craigslist, but create some income to consider investing in infusing your small business. And for women, for example, women over 65 statistically live 3 years longer than their husbands. And so I've worked with women in business, small businesses, that have started businesses at 70 years old. Their husbands passed away, and they don't have the income that they've had before. That's a concern. That concerns me as a woman. 80% of women become poor or, even in this country, maybe even impoverished when they divorce their husbands. You know, so I think that there's some answers that we need to help us maybe prepare better as women, and then as young people to begin investing sooner than later, and then small businesses to be able to think larger, not just that you're a small business and you're on that hamster wheel, but rather you want to begin to help your business go in the direction that it can withstand that 5-year mark, that 7-year mark, 10 years. You're on a good track of staying in business longer. And so tonight I have Rob Black from Rob Black and Your Money with me here in the studio, and he's going to give us his expertise on what maybe we can do as women, maybe as small businesses and our students and young people in terms of investing. Rob, thank you for coming on the show with me tonight.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, Rob, I'm an advocate. I'm a business coach. I'm an advocate for women, for our young people, for our small businesses. Is it true that you don't have to be a genius to invest well?
Sure. I've been doing investing for almost 20 years. We've just come off the best, not the best, but in the last 5-6 years, we're up 260-270% if you just did something stupid. If you were just in the market, had you been in an S&P 500 fund, you would have done fantastic. So yeah, it doesn't take a genius. What it takes is time, patience, and diversification. You don't want to just own the S&P 500 because that's large cap companies like Apple. You want to get some mid cap companies, and something you talk about, small cap companies, and the Russell 3000. Then you want to get some emerging markets, and you want to get some sort of income, whether it be a real estate investment trust fund and or whether it's bonds or some sort of combination. You put those five things together in a diversified portfolio. You give it 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, and you know, you turn $10,000 into $600,000 over a career of investing, which goes from 20 to 60. Now, if you try to get too smart and you try to trade and you go, oh, I think the market's going higher, I think the market's going lower, that's when greed and fear kind of ruin you. But it's pretty easy if you can eliminate greed and fear. That's the trick.
Now, when you talk about investing, which you are the only investor that I listen to.
Thank you.
Okay, I enjoy it. I think the way that you talk about how we use our money is very practical. I think that's fantastic. And you make it sound so simple. But I'm a novice. And so when you share, okay, the different types of instruments or investing that you can do, where do you start? Where would a woman who's considering divorcing her husband, and you were just talking on your show a couple of weeks back on divorce and those ramifications with one of your guests. And so it's very difficult for the spouse, and I'm going to say woman, and I know that, you know, in today's economy, we've got women making more money and better jobs and all of that. But the husband, the traditional, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, divorcing. How does she prepare? And if she wants to get divorced sooner than later, then it's probably not going to help her. But what would you say to a woman who's going to divorce? Should she keep the house or shouldn't she keep the house? That's emotional for us. What are some things that she can do to put her in a better situation?
Invest in. One is, you know, divorce and the issues there. Let's talk about divorce. Divorce, you want to keep things non-emotional. You're not going to get screwed. You're not going to get taken to the cleaners unless you opt to. In a divorce, there's a financial accountant, kind of a detective, who, you know, finds all the assets. And in the state of California, it's tough. Now, the mistakes that people can make is they can say, I want the house because it's the neighborhood where the kids live. Where, how much is, you know, rent? You can probably rent a place pretty nice, anywhere between $2,000 and $5,000. But if the 401k is sitting at $1 million and the house is sitting at $1 million, the 401k is a much more valuable asset because it's tough to save $100,000 or $500,000. So, you know, try to keep things rational. Understand that, you know, you once loved each other in time of divorce. It is a big issue because women put off their careers to raise the children. So they're behind in the corporate ladder. They haven't saved as much in Social Security. So they're behind in what they might get at age 62 to 70. But, you know, I would treat a divorce as rationally as you can and, you know, try not to get too caught up in the emotions of he did this or she did that, and know that you once loved each other and try to figure out what's best for both parties. It's tough to hurt someone in the state of California in a divorce. It can be done with ignorance. It can't be done with education.
Wow. Now you're saying don't get emotional. That's you're a guy and I'm a girl.
Sure.
And women tend to be emotional.
Absolutely.
You know, and men tend to compartmentalize and are a little bit better than us on not becoming emotional.
I think that's true. But like when I went through my divorce, I was vindictive. I mean, I had emotions. They may not have been sad and, you know, empathy driven, but there was anger. And, you know, I could have made a financial mistake, you know, breaking something. But I had to control my emotions and, you know, emotionally speaking, you know, a lot of marriages fail. It's a mathematical reality. The best thing you can do is, you know, try to figure out what's best for you and your family. There's a statistic out there that 49% of women, 49% of women, mothers picked in a survey that saving for their kids' college was more important than saving for themselves. 39% of fathers. So obviously, I'm going to say, yes, you want to save for your kids' college, but the number one thing you want to do is save for yourself so that when you're 60, 65, whatever, when you retire, you can make ends meet from 65 to 100. Your kid can find loans. You know, your kid's teeth can be fixed at age 20, age 30. But number one, for both men and women, take care of, you know, your finances as a family, whether it's individually or as a couple. Make sure you're saving enough for retirement and in divorce, you know, that's going to be split nicely.
Now, if you sell the home, and California is a high expensive state in terms of just sure. Living in the state of California. So, like, for example, if I sold my home, we'd probably do really well.
Sure.
Compared to Illinois, Texas, or Kansas. So you can get out of your divorce and split everything, or split the house in half anyway, and maybe walk away with $100,000.
And yeah, and there's sometimes that, you know, you have to start thinking about, you know, maybe negotiating where, you know, you get with the other spouse. In your case, a woman gets with a man and says, okay, I'd like to stay in this house till the kids are 18. You know, let's sell the house then. Let's put it in a contract and split it then. And if you're help funding it more so than I am, then you'll get the equity that you put in plus the appreciation. Divorce doesn't have to be cold and harsh. It can be negotiated pretty intelligently. But yeah, if you do sell a home for a big gain, you know, you're going to obviously have to figure out where to go. There's that opportunity. Maybe you go somewhere cheaper. If I, you know, in my scenario, I would probably say, you know, I could probably move to Portland and live off, you know, my salary twice as well as I do in the Bay Area.
Right.
So, you know, maybe it's a good opportunity to get a fresh start elsewhere at a lower cost of living.
So on the heel of that, let me ask you this. So that's divorce. Now, would you, what about a woman that loses her husband? Would you say for her to sell the home?
I don't think there's a right answer for that. You know, I have a very best friend who, her and her husband were in a car, and there was a car accident, and he died, and the guy in the back seat got brain damage, and the two women lived because they had seatbelts on. I mean, they unharmed. In her case, you know, she wanted to process the memories of the house that they were in. It took about 18 months, and then she wanted to move on with her life. But I could see people wanting to stay in it. My mom wants to die in the house that my dad died in. And that's tragic because she should be elsewhere. She should be in an environment of love and, you know, family and people that can take care of her. Instead, she's in a two-story house that she very well could, you know, fall and die, and we wouldn't find her for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's a right answer, but every scenario is unique. And I appreciate them all.
Well, we have about a minute before we go to break. Real quick, and if you can do this in a minute, how do we start investing? Women, we're here. What should we do first?
Get a budget is number one. Number two is set goals. You want to retire at age 60. You need $1 million to pay yourself $40,000. That's tied towards your budget. And then you need to call Fidelity, Vanguard, or TD Ameritrade and say, I'm ignorant. I know nothing. I need to open an account. If you have a job, a 401k, a 403b, a 457 is the best way to start saving for retirement. But you need goals, you need a budget, and you need some sort of vehicle to use your budget to fund those goals inside the retirement accounts.
You're listening to AM 1220 KDOW Business Advantage with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business leader.
KDOW.
Welcome back to Business Advantage with Margaret Jackson. We're talking to Rob Black about your money, and specifically for small businesses, women in business, students, college students. Now, small businesses, Rob, you know, we have these micro businesses, and I put small businesses in categories and buckets because small businesses can be small, medium, and large.
Uh-huh.
And so, and even a micro business technically should be able to get $3,500 in loans, some sort of loan, but
okay,
that's not always the case. So that small business that's even younger than that, if you will, a startup or that hurting capital that someone's pulling out of their pocket to start that business, I think it's important for small businesses to start looking at investing, you know, their company, if they're a C corporation, LLC, to look at that. Not if they're a sole proprietorship or something like that, but an LLC at least, or a C corporation. And we were talking before on the last segment, you know, where to start. But what's the least amount of money would you say someone needs to begin investing?
Well, First and foremost, if I were a small business, and I have many small businesses in my career, is I would call it Fidelity, TD Ameritrade, or Vanguard, and set up a 401k or 403b if it's a nonprofit for my employees, 401k if it's a profit. And then they should save 10 to 15% of their salary into that 401k. And Fidelity will make it super easy, Margaret. They'll set the plan up. They'll, you know, help you with automatic distributions. They'll yellow, you know, ink, sign here kind of thing. But that's for small businesses. And I think every person should save 10 to 15% of their salary into some sort of qualified retirement plan like a 401k, a 403b, a 457. For an individual, there's a couple apps out there that are pretty cool and pretty easy. If you want it to go to Betterment.com or Robinhood.com, these are apps that you can get on the iPhone. It's apps that you can get on Google, Android. And for instance, with Robinhood, it costs absolutely nothing to buy and sell a stock. You put in your bank account, and let's say at lunch you're like, hey, I would really like to buy some shares of a bank. Banks are typically pretty good businesses. They're, you know, they're not drunk. If you walk in drunk, they're not going to give you a loan. They're going to like say, what's your social security number? They're going to check your credit. They're going to kind of vest you a little bit. With that said, you know, Robinhood, you can, if you have a bank account with $5,000, you can transfer $500 and buy $500 of stock with no costs. They're going to make money off you if you open a margin account. They're going to make money on how much it costs for them to buy it versus, you know, put it in your account. It's fractions, but that's the beauty of technology. They have no employees. They're not, you know, a big trading firm that has to, you know, pay secretaries and legal people and such. But that's Robinhood and Betterment for the small investor. For somebody who's a little bit more legit in size, I'd go, say, $5,000 to open an account at Fidelity or Vanguard or TD Ameritrade. I'll go as far as I've got a credit card in my pocket called Fidelity FIA, F-I-A, and 2% of all my purchases go to, you know, rewards. And because it's Fidelity, I just transfer it from my, you know, my credit card, which is an Amex, straight to my account. And I've saved just in credit card rewards in the last year, well over $2,500. And that's a whole year of saving for retirement. I wish I had done this when I was 20, but now in my 40s, I so take advantage of those cash back rewards. There's two of them. MasterCard has a great one and Fidelity has a great one. And let me pull my wallet. I'll tell you which the MasterCard one is. It's the double rewards. You're seeing a lot of ads for it right now. It's called Double Cash Back with Citibank. Great card. Quicksilver is okay. That's 1.5% back. But and again, you only do this if you pay off your credit card every month. If you carry a balance, this is the worst financial advice that you'll ever get. Yeah, so it's Fidelity FIA and also the Double Cash on Citi. Great rewards and a great way to save. Because, you know, if you spend, as long as you pay it off, you're getting, you know, 2% back. $100 gets you $2, and that starts to add up.
Now, with small businesses, now they may not have all of those particular cards, but I really like the idea of the Robinhood.com. Because small businesses, as they grow, they can accumulate, you know, like $500.
Yeah.
And say, okay, I want to invest that. That's what we're going to do, you know, for, you know, for our company to begin to, because they need financial strength. They need ways of really taking that foundation of that business and making it stronger. And most small businesses think like a small business rather than thinking like a small business that wants to grow into a large corporation. So do you think this is reasonable for small businesses to invest?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I want the small business to do a retirement plan for the owners as well as the employees versus I don't think a small business should have an emergency fund, but they shouldn't be going out and buying Apple when they're in the business of, you know, delivering groceries.
Right.
So I don't think they should be investing in their future with emergency funds so that they can, you know, fund some projects in the future. But that's all I have to say about that.
AM 1220 KDOW, Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bayer's business leader.
To Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to Business on Edge with Margaret Jackson. We've been talking about investing. We've been talking about small businesses getting stronger in their financial arsenal, as well as women who may, you know, if you end up in divorce or your husband passes away. And then our young people who need to, as Rob says, you know, start investing now, you know, sooner than later, 20 years old. When I was 20 years old, no one was talking to me about investing. I think at 20 years old, I was working for Illinois Department of Corrections. And so, and I was in college, but I was not investing. I would have loved to have heard some of the things that Rob shares on his show Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on Rob Black and Your Money. Now, I also have Morris Coe on the line. He's the founder of Destiny Properties, a private investor in the Dallas, Texas area. And what he's doing is he's working with individuals and I think some small businesses in terms of creating new streams of income for them with purchasing, flipping property or buying property and then renovating them and then renting them out. Morris, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Margaret. How are you?
I'm doing well. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing? I'd like Rob to kind of hear this and then give his feedback on, you know, whether or not what you're doing would be good, a smart move for small businesses.
Okay, sure. Basically, what I've been doing over the last 10 or 15 years is buying houses and remodeling homes and then selling them, basically. And sometimes I buy those homes, sell them immediately, and sometimes I buy them and sell them with land contracts, and that means it stays with me for a while until the new buyer gets it, their own funding or financing. And then some of the properties I do rent out.
Okay, so now you've been doing this for 10 to 15 years, and so how is that working? And you've now attracting more people to work with you, that you have more eyes looking for properties, and then you're buying them and you're splitting the profits. Is this working well there in Texas? We have about 2 minutes before we go to a break.
Yes, it's been working really well for me. You know, we buy properties that are in distress situations. We help sellers, and then also we help renovate neighborhoods. So basically we find properties at discount prices, and then we turn around and sell them at the value that they're supposed to be. So it's a win-win situation for the community and the investors.
This is awesome. Really quick, Rob, what do you think about, just in a nutshell, in terms of what he's describing to you?
I'm on the cautious side. Mm-hmm. I find that some people get in over their heads buying properties out of state. It takes a unique circumstance to work out perfectly. I think property management is the way to go if you do go out of state, so that you don't get the call at 4 a.m. that, you know, the water pipe is busted. That I have a property that's managed professionally in North Carolina in Raleigh, and I called her and I said, how's the rental market? She said, great. I said, how's the home market? She said, awful. So I'm not going to sell my home for what I bought it for 10 years, 15 years.
Right.
But I can rent it for the next 10 to 15, in her opinion. So it's worthy of mentioning it. Like, there's risks when you buy out of state. Like, I like seeing what I own, or I want someone I trust, a lieutenant, to see what I own, right, and keep an eye on the property.
Right. We're going to go ahead and go to break since we're so close to it. And when we get back, we're going to give Morris an opportunity to respond, and we're going to talk a little bit more. And we're going to get Rob to wrap up. And you're listening to AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business leader.
Thanks for listening to Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
You're welcome back here to Business of Nature with Margaret Jackson. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, that's what I need, is a little bit of respect. Early Learning Preschool is now enrolling. Excellent academic program, including preparation for elementary school, ages 2 to kindergarten. Entry opens 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Flexible programs and affordable rates. After-school program with pickup and drop-off from nearby elementary schools. And so you can contact them with more information, for more information at 408-937-1545. That's 408-937-1545. We're talking about investing. I'm talking about different types of investing. What would work for women? What would work for small businesses? In terms of property investing, of course, I wouldn't tell a 20-year-old to go, I don't think, purchase. I wouldn't tell my 20-year-old son to go purchase property right now. He doesn't have property investing money, first of all. So that would not be a good solution for him. But I'm looking for solutions that that can help small businesses, that can help women along the way and not just have dependencies on their male counterpart. So, Rob, you were saying you don't think it's a safe investment, but purchasing in California is expensive.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that it's not a safe investment. They differ like gold and clay. You have to find the right scenario. For me, I would rather someone own a publicly traded REIT, a real estate investment trust, where you actually own $1,000, you buy $1,000 of malls, and you own it. You buy $1,000 of office properties, you own it. And then that business on top of it shares 90% of the profits with you in income. And if the real estate goes up in value, in theory, you go up in value. Historically, I think that's the safer way for the average person. Now, once you become a little bit more savvy, worth a little bit more money, there's no doubt, you know, venturing into some new real estate is intriguing. Like, I'm looking at the place in Portland right now because Portland's just a booming city. And I also have a partner in Portland, mm-hmm. which helps.
Right. Now, partnerships. So, for example, I'll tell you what I've done, and I'll let this cat out of the bag. What I've done is I put together brought some people together to create a property investment team, like Morris Coe, who's on this team, a broker here in California, and then a contractor in Illinois who is looking for distressed properties. You know, he can go in, renovate, you know, for, you know, some reduced cost to get that property back, to get that commercial property, or could it be a residential property. And so Morris comes in with the know-how in terms of that 10, 15-year, you know, how to get that property sold and back on the market. Now, would you, you know, Morris, you know, is that a, would you say that's a better scenario in terms of keeping, you know, if I bought, you know, five small business owners and said, hey, there's a property in Illinois, and I guess this question would go to you and Rob, you know, what's the best scenario for them to say if they're in California to be talking about, hypothetically?
Margaret, I tend to agree with exactly what Rob said initially, possibly, you know, investing with when you first get to start investing with real estate trust, where, you know, the company, you know, is kind of experienced in getting into that market. Then also a person could, you know, as they learn a little bit more about real estate and they feel a bit more comfortable in getting, you know, getting involved with real estate, like you were saying, it's more profitable if you are able to do that, learn more. And I think one way to do that is to partner with someone that knows the business and that can teach you the business wherever you are. And you can get involved that way and possibly split the profits with someone that you know and that's credible and that you can trust.
What do you say to that, Rob?
I think we're in agreement.
Because here's my thing. I want to get money to small businesses.
Okay.
You know, and I think, and I want to get them into investing in whatever scenario that,
well,
that
why not
is.
Have the small business focus on their business, though? And then when they're like a mid-sized business, start getting into other areas that aren't their core business, but into like real estate.
That's a good question. And my response to that is what I've seen working with small businesses is that they may have some sort of retirement instrument, and their business is struggling. They're not able to generate the capital that they need to maybe do the things that they need, because you're starting up, and so it's difficult. So my thinking, what I'd like to see is some secondary or third stream of income that can help infuse some of the things that they are trying to do, like marketing and advertising and brand, building brand awareness through some other resource that they can, you know, that they can get a hold of. And so I think property investing could be, you know, a way
passive,
of doing it.
It's passive income in modern portfolio theory. That's a wonderful thing to talk about. Just one way that I kind of did that was I bought an office for my company. So my company pays me rent, and that cuts down on the risk, and that's getting into more real estate. And I bought it near a courthouse because lawyers will always want to be near a courthouse. So I think, you know, I did get a distressed property that wasn't zoned correctly, and it turned out really well, but I had to get a small business loan to really make ends meet. But yeah, I'm not against outside the box thinking.
Sure. And I guess that's where I'm going with regards to small businesses, because they end up, Rob, out of business because they're not doing anything different than just trying to work on your business. And it's really difficult to work on your business when you have very, very limited resources. We're not seeing banks give the loans the way that they did prior to the downturn of the economy. So there's still some, you know, you're just not seeing the money come out of there. Now you have the crowdfunding, which is great. And who wants to crowdfund every time you want to do a project, though?
Really? I'm excited about crowdfunding.
I just did it. I raised almost $6,000 for my event, and our budget was $5,000. So it's
cool.
You can do it, but it's a lot of work. It's ridiculous, insane.
I like crowdsourcing. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great way for small businesses to think.
To start there.
Yeah, it's one place to start.
It is one trip.
If the SBA is not going to work with you, that's another one that might.
I agree with that. That's a place to be. AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Berry's business leader. How it is, I've got my own life to live. You can't either accept me or, baby, this is my world. This is who I am. And no message could have been any clever. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change. Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW. Welcome back to Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. We have had Rob Black in the studio. He has slipped out, and we appreciate his just vast knowledge on investing. And we're trying to figure out ways, the best ways for small businesses to create a stream of income that will allow them to benefit their small businesses, to benefit for their businesses to maybe gain resources to market more, to advertise more, to build brand awareness more. And those are the areas that I see most the most problems in terms of small businesses wanting to develop and grow. And they don't have those resources. So, but we still have Morris Cole on the line, who is a property investor out of Dallas, and who is also helping individuals create new streams of income. And so Morris, is it possible for us to develop a model, some sort of model? You're just coming into the show, but Rob Black talked about using an investment app called Robinhood.com. And so, you know, you can invest as little as $500 to start out. What would you say that investment price point for investing in property for some small business that they could get some sort of, you know, quick return maybe if you flip the property?
Well, I like to just, you know, say that I really like the scenario that Rob talked about a minute ago when he was trying to get his business he purchased a office building for his business to go into. And so at that point, he leased the office building to himself for his business. And what that did is kind of created additional income for him in support of his business. So what that told me, because I did the same thing when I got my mortgage broker's license in Texas, and I said, well, I cannot run this mortgage brokerage firm out of my home, so I need to find somewhere to rent. So as I was looking for a place to rent for my business, I came across a building that was for sale. And so fortunately, I had, a good enough credit at the time to purchase that building. And it afforded me the opportunity to rent the other side of the building out, which paid for my spot as well. So that cut my overhead of my business down. But to say all that is to say small business owners need to look at what they have and look around them and always be shopping for real estate deals that kind of can help them meet their needs where they are. But to answer your questions about the price point of investments, I come across a lot of deals. I think if you want to get into investing in real estate,
so we just somehow lost Morris. We lost you there. We have about 50 seconds left in the show, Morris. So
okay.
So can you share with me really quickly what's that price point? I don't know if you said it. We missed you.
I'm thinking around $5,000 to $10,000.
Okay.
would be a good starting point.
$5,000 to $10,000. Well, we're on our way to getting small businesses and women in business and young people on the road of investing here on Business on the Edge. Thank you so much for calling in today, Morris, and being a guest. AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson Beery's business leader.